Welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road, Minnesota's premier and only off-road podcast, brought to you by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Hey, welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road podcast. Today I break down a Gilbert trip with my buddy Brent, and we talk about some exciting things that happened on our trip. Overall, it had some ups and upside downs, which you're going to hear all about. And we had a good time. So we break down a little camping situation we had going on and our setup with that and how well that went. And the drive up, the drive back a little bit. We just kind of break it all down. So it was pretty fun. Little update on the daily driver. My son's daily driver now. He's driving my pickup back and forth to practice and all that good stuff. Got the little paint work done that I had to do on there. I gave it a good sand down. I had a little rust spot, like I said before, between the cab and the truck bed. So I sanded it out with 1000 grit, because that's what I had, and then threw some converter on there, a little light coat of primer, and three coats of white base. I think probably next week sometime after I get it washed, I'll throw down a couple coats of clear on that side. It doesn't look 100% pretty, but again, it's on a spot where you don't see unless you're looking for it. I just saw the rust spot and thought I'd take care of it. So that's done. Jeep came through the trip just fine. So there's the update on what's going on in the garage. But what's next here is just my buddy Brent and I breaking down our trip. We couldn't get everybody on. I want to get all four of us, the guys, on there, but it's like herding cats trying to get more than one person on this podcast, to be honest with you. So trying to get three and four just doesn't work. Schedules don't line up. So just got Brent on there, and you're going to hear why in just a few minutes. So thanks for listening, and here it is. Computer. All right, we are up and recording. All right, so I'm sitting here with my buddy Brent, and we're going to recap our Gilbert trip that we had. And this kind of started, hey, welcome, Brent.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Mitch.
he's our star star player here this week, so you'll hear about that in a second. But Gilbert recap. So a few weeks ago, we kind of sent the text out to our group, the Crossroad Off-Road Club, and we said, let's get a trip going, planned. We did the same trip last year, same weekend, because all the memories were popping up on my phone while we were there even. And so it was kind of a cool setup. The plan overall, we're basically going to set up in Gilbert. We're going to camp this time. Last year, we stayed in a hotel. We stayed at Veterans Park. I think I overpacked a bit. I had plenty of extra pairs of clothes and underwear and everything. By the time I got home, like, man, I overpacked. But I actually wanted to bring one more cooler because I forgot to bring all the fire starter stuff. I use coolers. I have my Yeti for the cold. And I have this really terrible cooler we won from a liquor store that doesn't keep anything cold, but it's big and it can hold stuff so that we don't smash your chips and your bread. That's why I like to put stuff in, you know, kind of hard case coolers. And then I have another cooler, which I should have brought, which I was going to have my fire starter kit in. I'm putting together a camping trip again this weekend, so I'm going to put three coolers in. Drive up, picked up Mike in his town in North Branch, and then we got to the campsite first, and I was the first one to open a beer, so I won that battle to get the cooler open. But we got to our campsite. We stayed at Veterans Park. I definitely suggest that. Nice hot showers there. You had a chance to use that, Brent, but it was a nice setup for the showers. Kind of helped paint the picture. We were staying in tents. Wade had the little baby tent. It was just a one-person or two-person kind of pop tent for camping or hiking. I thought it was pretty cool. Brent had the four-person. But when it comes down to tents, I think to a certain extent, bigger is always better. So Mike had his six-person Taj Mahal. which was great. You guys were on, air mattresses? Is that what you guys had?
Yeah, well, car camping, it's air mattresses. It was cold that night, so air mattresses, and I threw several blankets in there to sleep on and under, so it was a cozy night in there.
Yeah, I went with, I had a cot. I don't know if you saw my setup, but I had a cot, and Mike liked it so much that he went and bought two cots this week. So
I brought my 10-year-old with, and he was jealous of the cot too. He didn't know why we had to sleep on the ground.
So I think then, I'm actually, after we're done here, I'm going to one of the stores and picking up my own tent. That way I can have my own setup. And I have a big old 10x10 canopy, but there's no sides on it. So I'm going to pick up my own six-person tent for this weekend, and then future hunting and off-roading trips. So we were actually going to, you know, eat dinner at the campsite, but I think we all got up there a little later than we wanted to. So we all ate on the way up. So forgot the hot dog sticks. I'm going to try to remember those for this weekend. But yeah, it was kind of the setup. You know, we all got set up and up and running the night before. I thought we were going to get up and be on the trail by about 9 a.m. But then the whiskey shenanigans happened. And we were 4 for 4 on hangovers the next day because of that whiskey, I think. And I had to remind Wade that Mike gets supercharged at about 10:30 at night. And he'll go till 4 in the morning if you let him. So you got to shut the party down at midnight. You were already in bed already. And I tell him, like, I gotta put a muzzle on Mike here. We gotta shut him down. So he really likes to hang outside by the fire. He just gets supercharged. But so we got to bed around a little after midnight. The breakfast was unreal. What'd you say, Brent?
Oh yeah. Well, you gotta bring a culinary expert with us on all these trips. Good day. Yeah. Good setup.
Yeah, we had I don't know anything chef's name, but you know, Chef Wade busted out his Bunsen burners and his campfire grills, everything he kind of had going, the coffee setup.
No, he had a great double burner Coleman that he fired up, and cast iron grill. So we're in good shape for the morning. Breakfast burritos
with onions, eggs, you name it. I forget what else we had. It was quite the setup in the morning. So Wade likes to show off all the stuff he gets off of Craigslist and Marketplace. So he was definitely ready to go. I couldn't believe he packed all that stuff in his Jeep. Other thing, you know, he kind of had that thing packed full of all that stuff. So
yeah, see, I go the other approach. I've got all these camping hacks I do where I bring a Stanley thermos with me, and I fill it up at the nearest gas station before I get to the campsite the night before. And then it's, it's still hot in the morning right when I wake up, because unlike Wade and Mitch, I don't jump out of bed in the morning. So I kind of like to have some of the breakfast prepared already. And, you know, I just had some, donuts in a bag that I was going to eat with my son. But, Wade wasn't having any of that. We had fresh coffee and in the French press and breakfast burritos on the Coleman stove, as I said. So it was a great way to start the day. Good to fuel up before we got on the trails.
Yeah, it was great. So we hung out on the campsite a little longer than I thought, but it was worth it. It was a good breakfast. So I helped paint the picture a little bit on what we all had going on for the weekend. We had 4 Jeeps, and we had 2 kids. You know, Brent had one of his guys there, and Wade had his daughter there. So they like to come with. My guys, unfortunately, had other stuff going on, and I only had 1 cot, and I knew that was going to be a point of contention with my kids. They would definitely have been like, why am I on the ground and you're in a cot? So I kind of said, you know, you guys don't have to come if you don't want to. But that was fine. We got all set up, locked and loaded, wouldn't gassed up, and then got to the trail. I think we got to the trailhead right around 10-ish, 10:15. Aired down, disconnected the sway bars. Lucky for Wade, all he has to do is air down. He has one of those Curry and Rock type of setups going on, and so he didn't have to do that. But all the rest of us got disconnected and got ready to go, and 3 of the 4 of us put it in low range. About that in a second. So
it's a good idea.
Yeah, it was a good idea, I thought. Mm-hmm. So if you guys know Gilbert, things got interesting real fast at Red Hills East. That's where we had, it was a first real long hill climb. I don't remember seeing that one before, if it went up the first time, or just walked, drove by it, if it's new. Wade took the lead. My goal this time was not to be in the lead. I was just like, let somebody else take the lead and they can get crap. So I was going to hang back and take photos and kind of take pictures of you guys. So I kind of hung back a little bit, let Wade go, and Mike went, and I was 3rd in line. And that hill was no joke. It was a little longer than I thought. It's probably about 45 yards long and pretty steep. Wade cruised right up it. Mike cruised right up it. I put it in first gear, low range, and kept the R's pretty steady. And I got to the top. I haven't even told you my part of this story, but I got to the top, got on my Jeep because I'm like, that was a pretty steep hill. I want to watch Brent come up that. And I just opened my door. I'm like, should I grab my radio on my phone? Just like, you know, all of a sudden I hear a thud. And then I started running. So I'm like, that's no good. So Brent, why don't you take us from there? Why did I hear a thud?
Oh, well, it's embarrassing to even tell the story, but so I'm bringing up the rear, you know, Mitch was right in front of me. And first obstacle of the day, like Mitch said, just this nice climb, looked pretty straightforward, you know, long and steep, but certainly nothing that you'd, you know, shy away from on any other day. And I don't know if it was, you know, the hangover or the fact that I hadn't been on the trails since that year before in Gilbert, you know, with the COVID shutdown, you know, a couple of these events that we like to go to didn't happen this year. So, you know, this was the first time out in a while. And I started climbing this hill in too low, or too high rather. So I didn't even put it into four-wheel drive. Because I just, after the disconnect and the air down, I just hopped in and put on some music I wanted to listen to. And then about halfway up this hill, I realized what my mistake was, and I wasn't going to make it. And I didn't really think too much of it. You know, I'll just kind of hit the brake, sit here for a second, just drop it into four low and continue the climb. What I didn't realize was that hill was a lot slicker than I thought it was going to be. It was steep. But it also, I don't know if there had been some rain recently or what, but I was on the brake and I just started sliding down once my brakes were locked. And then unfortunately my Jeep started to kind of rotate. So instead of going straight backwards, you know, now I was going sliding down the hill sideways. So, you know, taking my foot off the brake, since I was no longer going straight back, I couldn't steer anymore. And then as soon as my tires going down the hill sideways hit some traction, I just tipped over. And I didn't roll it all the way, but it just tipped over 90 degrees. But, you know, there was a moment that seemed like it was, you know, forever in time where it started to go. And it was going to go, but I was still hoping it wouldn't. And then just like Mitch said, just thud. And I was my son was up in the passenger seat with me. You know, I was smashed against the ground, my, you know, side driver window, and my son's hanging down, you know, on top of me, still strapped into the seatbelt. And, you know, my kid looked at me and just kind of with a look of surprise. And I just said, you know, get the radio. And we rolled. And so he just picks it up, says, I rolled, or we rolled. And, you know, thankfully, you know, this is why you're always jeeping with friends, never on your own, especially a place like Gilbert. You know, Mitch was right on top of us right away, pulling my son out the window, making sure there's no injury, there's no fire that needed to be put out. You know,
on that part too, anytime you watch a car movie or any movie, you know, two cars barely touch each other and they both blow up. So at first,
thankfully, honestly, that's just a movie myth. Yeah.
At first, that's what I thought. Like, well, let's get them out. And then I'm looking around. I didn't see – this was a cool part. I didn't see any fluids leaking out anywhere, which was really neat. I was thinking that the gas would start spilling. I thought we'd smell fumes. And I'm worried about getting people out just to get – you know, and I was worried about you guys having concussions a lot. I was worried about that, if you banged your heads at all. So my worry was those things. I didn't also worry that the guys didn't hear me when I said he rolled. Because I took off running right down the hill, and I thought I was going to fall down the hill because I was going to run a little too fast. I was like, oh, no, I'm going to get hurt. I better slow down. But then we were able to pull out your son rather easily. I mean, little guys are easier to get out than full-grown adults out of a seatbelt. And that's this next part here. So it took a little while to get you out, though.
And we it's easier to take out, you know, 60-pound 10-year-olds than, you know, full-grown guys that have spent the pandemic eating and drinking more than they should be. my weight was against the seatbelt, and I tried for, you know, probably 5 minutes to get out of there, and maybe I gave up too early, but I ended up just taking the Leatherman off my belt and cutting my seatbelt off just because I just needed to get out of there and see what the situation was.
Yeah, so on that point too, I was a little worried about getting the knife out. And there is things, a little seatbelt cutter, it's a little keychain. And it goes, you know, obviously it just slides in, but it has a knife in it, but it's protected by everything. But you can take it and slip a seatbelt right through it and go. So I ordered two of them, and you get one of them, Brent. So I ordered two of them. They'll come here in the next couple of weeks. But This also has a glass break on it too. So if you really need to, you can break a glass with this same keychain. So that way we're a little safer on that. And during the same time, this is the where things get a little cross-thread. Here's a couple PSAs I'm going to talk about is, why we're getting this all going, Wade goes, somebody should grab a fire extinguisher. And so Mike went to grab mine. He couldn't get it out. Went to grab Wade's. He couldn't get it out. He's like, guys, you need to make these things accessible. So the other night, I'm waiting for my son to get down with basketball, and I'm just reconfiguring mine so I can get to it from the driver's seat if I need to and be able to pull it out real easily. And I look up, and it says, there's a little dial on it, and it says full or empty, and it was already on the empty. So these fire extinguishers go, they just lose their charge after a few years. I think this one is 4.5 years old, right around there. And so I ordered another one, but I ordered it through the place I ordered it from, Home Depot. They didn't have them in stock, but it comes tomorrow, I think. But the cheaper place to go is Menards. Same exact one's $15 versus $21. So if you're out there looking for a automotive or marine fire extinguisher, Menards has them in stock. So just so you know. I already ordered mine, which I would have, because I could have one back in my Jeep right now. So back to this. We got Brent out. A little exciting time frame there, but we got Brent out and kind of figured out what was going on. And then we started thinking, well, how are we going to flip this back over? Because none of us have really flipped it over. And we want to do it safely and effectively, not have it roll back down the hill again. So all these things were worried about us and we were worried about. And now it's recovery time. Now that everybody's safe and out of the vehicle. And at this point, when he tipped over his Jeep, we're probably 3 minutes into the drive.
Yeah, four, come on.
So, and my thought is, well, Brent's probably gonna want to go home and we're probably gonna be pretty down about this the whole day. So I was thinking that our day was over. Man, we're going to spend I thought the rest of the day would be trying to figure out how to get your Jeep back to this Twin Cities. To be honest with you, I thought there's no way we're going to recover from this. The tires are, four tires are in the air. And I'm like, day is done. We got to start thinking how we're going to get this thing on a tow trailer. Who's going to jump in with who? Because I don't think I had Mike and I, neither of us had back seats in. Brent, I think, or Wade did.
Wade did, yeah.
Yeah, so we'd have been fine.
I was thinking the same kind of stuff. You know, once it's, you know, of course I'm worried about my son, but it was obvious that he was fine. And so there's no injuries there. And then the attention turns to the Jeep. And by the way, there was lots of attention turned to the Jeep. All the other trail riders, you know, that happened to be there start circling and, you know, cameras are out and video. And, you know, then of course you get all the chatter about, you know, how we're going to fix this problem. But
So I was at the top of the hill, bouncing back and forth between top and the bottom. And it was funny, all these guys on side-by-side started showing up and, you know, kind of gathering around. We had a crowd. I mean, it was 20 people there hanging out, watching us try to figure this out. So, I mean, comedy starts. We look like Keystone Cops a little bit there because we're like, well, what do we do? And so Wade was pretty excited. He was going to use his 8274. I think he was excited to kind of put that thing to work and really, you know, test it out, which I was too. You know, I
haven't secretly excited. He looked down the hill and just said to himself, finally.
I got this.
I can finally put this thing to good use.
So I did an episode on his 8274 rebuild and his 6-horsepower motor he has on or whatever it is. And, you know, they're pretty classic, awesome things. So if you haven't heard that one, go back and listen to that episode. So our first thought was, how can you flip it over in the safest way possible, like I said, and do no more damage? So we roll it, you know, we get the line down there. We make sure he's not rubbing on the dirt because this hill, he's right at the top of the hill. And we start getting it gathered together and around the frame. But then we start hitting the button. And it was starting to spin just a little bit. It would just spin the Jeep. So then we
kind of rotated on the ground because we had it tied up too far close to the front.
Yeah. So during this time too, Mike is imagine somebody holding a walkie-talkie and yelling up the hill, but not using the walkie-talkie. So I looked, I screamed down and I go, Mike, use the microphone on the walkie-talkie. And all the people up on the top of the hill started laughing because he's just like holding the walkie-talkie. He's, oh, yeah, I suppose I could use this thing. Because Wade's like, I can't hear the damn thing he says. And he's holding a walkie-talkie. So we had a good laugh. That was our first time we got everybody laughing, kind of bringing down the tension, you could say. And then the second one I thought was pretty funny. You know, Wade, you know, he has an engineering background. And one guy goes, well, I have a snatch block. And why he's going to grab the snatch block to kind of help us out. But the other guy goes, well, he's an engineer. I go, oh, so is Wade, you know. And then another guy goes, well, I'm an auto body mechanic. I'll make sure these guys are, like, hooking it up right, you know, down there. Oh, good. Well, I'm a personal trainer. If anybody needs to work out right now, I'm just so, now we're getting all of our careers out of the way. So it was like one of those deals where we just kind of had another laugh there and getting everything tied up. And then the second attempt, like I said, after the first one was a spinner, the second attempt was a success. You kind of widened out. You had an anchor point in front, anchor point, a little further back. So pulled it down more square. And it plopped right down, and then
we took the strap and looped it over the frame in the front and in the back, so it was pulling from both sides. And you know, just to kind of paint the picture a little bit, if you're going to tip your Jeep over, this was actually a pretty good place to do it. You know, I wasn't on, you know, one of these stream trails or wherever, you know, where, you know, you'd have a heck of a time doing any of that. You know, I was towards the bottom of the hill, but the bottom of the Jeep was facing towards the top, and that's where Wade planted himself with his winch. So it was pretty straightforward to run the line down to the Jeep and just pull it back up. We didn't have to do anything more than that. So it tipped over one way, and you know, we were able to pull it back up the exact same way.
Yeah, so it was squared up, teed up to the hill. So if a hill's going you know, straight up, this Jeep was completely sideways on the hill, upside down. So he's pulled it straight, got it kind of set, and got it back on its feet. And the winch itself, you know, Wade was in the Jeep, Mike was on the walkie-talkie. Wade kind of, manning the situation. Wade was just taking it nice and slow, bringing it back to his feet. And it sucked his Jeep, his front of his Jeep sucked down about, you know, 10 inches. I mean, it went straight down because he was pulling from a downward position. But it pulled it right over, let the winch back out, and got it tied back up. But 8274 would work perfectly and did what it needed to do. I think any one of our winches probably could have done it, but I think that was the one for this job. That was worked just fine. So then our next step was, you have this Jeep that's sitting sideways on the hill. We're going to try to pull it, but then I was worried that if we start pulling it, again, perpendicular, we're just going to pull it back over sideways. So then we had Brent jump in a Jeep, turn the wheel downhill, and then we just basically pushed it down the rest of the way. And then
and there was a nice flat area at the bottom of the hill where we could, you know, evaluate things from there. We weren't in a tough spot at all.
Yeah, so that's that part was, so far we're thinking, well, this is not going to work. But we had a secret weapon with us, which is a guy named Wade who's he's seen a few things, and he started thinking, well, we can't start it not like this, because if we got oil in the cylinder heads, you'll blow the motor. So our thought was, well, Wade just changed his spark plugs not that long ago. So he took off the fuel rail. He had all the tools he needed. Again, I underpacked tools and overpacked, you know, underwear apparently. But he had all the right tools to do what he needed to do. And so he took off the fuel rail, and then he took all the spark plugs out, just turned the motor over. And by doing that, it should shoot out any oil that's in the cylinder heads. Now, I might be wrong in that, but that's how I remember him talking about it, because oil won't combust like gasoline, and it'll just ruin your motor. So in the end, he knew what to do with that part. And I probably took about 20 minutes to a half hour to get that part done. We checked the oil after we got it all back up and running. Nothing there. The only oil we saw, like you and I went back up the hill and looked where you rolled over. I didn't see anything there. The only thing that really spilled was the front diff fluid out the top breather tube. That's the only thing that was coming out, because you thought it was oil or something coming out. And I picked it up and I go, it's green, but it smells like oil. So it's not antifreeze. The way it's like, oh, that's diff oil then. So got everything back together, and Brent turned it over. And it fired right up. I had like one puff of blue smoke, and that was it. But
yeah, so it I was thinking the worst too. I was gonna have to find some sort of tow and ride home in Wade's back seat. But yeah, after kind of a safety check in the engine, you know, it ran just as well after as before. Yeah, I will say there was damage to the outside. My windshield frame was bent, which caused the windshield to not shatter, but crack pretty pretty good in a few places. My side mirror just broke off completely, and the door is dented to where you can roll up the window with some finagling, but I didn't figure that out till the day was over. So I was did the rest of it with kind of a half open window. But cosmetics aside, it ran great right away, and first thing I did was drop it into four low.
Yeah. Then your top also took a little bit of damage too, right?
Yeah. It scraped up pretty good, and it's worn a hole, in the front where it latches to the windshield frame. So I can kind of duct tape over that for a little bit, but that's going to need to be replaced pretty soon too.
Yeah. So if you guys who are listening have any black TJ parts you might want to part with, we're looking for at least a windshield, maybe a door, and a soft top. Don't need the frame on that soft top, just the soft top will be fine. I think the frame is fine for you. So that's kind of the damage report. So at this point, this is when I asked Brent, I go, you feeling like you want to go home or you want to keep going? And what did you say back to me?
Oh, I don't know exactly what it was, but hey, I'm here and I'm not going home now. let's work it out a little bit. And a little pressure relieved. I'm not so worried about scraping up at least one side, so we can go have some fun.
So Brent goes all hardcore, says, let's do it. I'm thinking, all right, man, let's go have some fun. So then we got on the trail and did a lot of the same trails we did last year, some new ones. We found a rock garden I don't think we'd done before. Mike and Wade took the challenge there. And the safety meeting to start the whole day off was me talking the night before, says, I don't want to break anything. I'm not taking any hard lines. I just can't afford to break this thing and have it be down because it's my daily driver now. While my son takes my truck to school every day and football practice, this is what I have to drive to when I go do things. So I can't really break anything on it. So I was kind of like, I'm just going to take it easy. And they kind of razzed me a little bit like they would. But in the end, I think the only thing I didn't do was that rock garden. I was like, I don't think I need to do that. Everything else wasn't even a choice. I didn't have a choice, which we're going to get into a little later. So we did all the we did the lookout last year, which is different than we did this year. But that lookout last year was pretty fun, but I couldn't find it this year. And I was trying to use, here's another word to wise, I was trying to use Polaris Ride Command kind of just to see where I went. It's kind of like, it will track where you've been, the whole time, and then it'll show you on a trail where you're at. And I couldn't get it to kick on. I'm like, this thing's supposed to work without data. Why is it not working? Well, I found out after I got home that I didn't have the GPS turned on for that app in the settings for some reason. So I'm like, well, I screwed that up. I didn't want to pay $30 for anything else, any other services, because we just don't want to spend money right now. And so I'm just kind of like, well, I guess we're just going to wing it. I could use one of the OnX like the app to kind of figure out where we were, but I really wanted to kind of try to track the whole thing where we were. But that was kind of a bummer. I didn't get to do that because I wanted to share that piece. But in the end, though, I could see the map. I knew where we were. And after going there last year, I'm like, well, we kind of were stuck in that first little part. We didn't go into this back area. So we did all that. We got to that rock garden, and then we kind of broke out our lunch. And that was probably like 2, 3 o'clock that we broke for lunch. I think it was like 2. I just went for the easy ham and cheese again. It's my kind of my go-to on the trail because it's easy. And Mike went all out with his masterpiece. What did he have? Like a whole salami tube?
Oh, he took a summer sausage. This was epic. Sausage out of the plastic, cut it in half lengthwise, and just put it into a hot dog bun. And that was lunch.
It was big round too. Now.
Oh yeah, it's one of those summer sausages that's an inch in diameter, or an inch and a half. And yeah, just Johnsonville summer sausage, cut in half in the hot dog bun. On lunch is served.
Yeah, you kept it simple. Wade,
I had a leftover half of a Subway. That was my lunch, and but of course that's not what Wade's doing. Wade's got to break out the camp stove again. So
yeah, he wouldn't have a ham and cheese for himself and all the kids, and I don't know. He probably had wine for lunch too. So he likes to bust his stuff out and get going on. I'm like, I'm just keep it simple, but he had some other stuff, and so then we tooled around and went to not too far from there actually. I started driving. I'm like, well, I'm going the wrong way. That's when I turned around because I could see myself on one of the maps and where I wanted to go was the wrong way. So I turned around, went along that fence line where that train came by a couple different times and drove down. And then we kind of found some cool rocky areas to go. And all these trails were very short, like a 5-minute trail, you know, 10 minutes long. And so that's kind of, we were tooling around in these easy, medium, hard trails, or, you know, a cool little rock garden. We did find that rock garden where last year, and we did play on that for a bit too. And that was kind of on the way to where we ended up going. But that was all fine. But on the way out there, there's this one sign that said, you know, lower money talks, 33s and winch required, that type of thing. And Wade goes, well, I want to check it out on the way back, just walk down there. And then we went and drove all these little trails that only took like 5-10 minutes to kind of go through. So like, oh, let's go down to that lower money talks then. After we went to the top of the hill, kind of look at the lookout and kind of saw the whole thing, took a bunch of pictures because it was cool. And then kind of going back to that lower money talks. Now again, 3 out of 4 guys have 33-inch tires. I'm the guy who doesn't. But I figured, what the heck, let's go for it. I was bringing up the rear at this point because I went first. I went with Preston, your boy, and I went and scouted out. We walked on her and checked it all out. And that's when I asked him, you okay from the rollover? He goes, oh, that was kind of fun. I want to do that again. So he's ready for another rollover.
Yeah. Do that with you next time.
He was never talking a little bit. So the lower money talks is it looks like a lot of rocks and then a little water hole. Not so much mud. It was more just water, but you can't see the rocks underneath. And all the water was probably foot and a half deep. It wasn't too bad. And but what got us to really go down, I was scouting out, and Wade gets on the walkie-talkie. He goes, hey, this guy just got out of there with a Cherokee. He says, it's no problem. You guys can go through there. He made it through just fine. So we're thinking, okay, this trail is a couple hundred yards long at the most. You know, that's our thoughts in our heads. Well, this trail was not. It was like one of those things where I even talked to Mike before he went. I go, you about done? He goes, yeah, I'm about done. Yeah, but let's do this trail first. You know, then it was like 2 hours later, right, when we finally got out of there. It's like one more trail. It's 2 hours later.
And you were your veto was overruled, as I remember, Mitch. You were like, yeah, we don't want to go down there. We'll just spend an hour winching each other out of this
thing. And I was right, but
yeah, you were, but that was the fun part.
But for the guy who doesn't want to break anything, yeah, but, so there's a lot of rocks and deep, water, but not too deep water, more mud. And then we got to the one point where we're like, well, we can't turn around because it's just the same thing, but backwards, you know? So we're like, well, let's just keep going. And then I kind of walked way ahead because you guys were, pulling each other out. And I was in the lead at this point. Somehow I snuck up to a lead. And so then there's a split in the trail and you can go up this hill or you stay down low. And the stay down low was like double black diamond, and the uphill, they didn't say what was up there, but I went up there. That's more like you need 40s in a buggy because all those boulders were the size of our Jeeps. So it was just like, there's no way we're getting around that. It might have been a shortcut to get to the top, but it was definitely, I thought, the harder route. So I'm like, well, and it was like boulder, rock, and then shelf road. I mean, it was just straight down. So I'm like, well, we already rolled one Jeep today. I don't want to be the next guy. So I'm like, let's stay a little more flatter. So we stayed on the rocky and muddy parts of this, the huge rocks, which I think that was called Upper Money Talks. And we stayed on the mossy rocks is what I think we called the one we stayed.
Yeah, I think so.
So if you guys are listening, you're wondering what trail names to go by. And this was fine. It was just really rocky and really muddy. You couldn't see where the rocks were. So I was scouting it all here and there. And after the trail spread, I'm like, oh, I guess we're in for it. And in my head, I was actually thinking as I was checking all these things, the water holes, I'm like, well, if we get stuck, we got plenty of water, we got plenty of food, we got beer. So if we get stuck here overnight, yeah, I guess we're set. I was worried about swamping a vehicle, like really getting water in the intake, or you can't get the lead guy to get his Jeep running.
So that's we all started watching the sun a little bit, because it was getting later in the day there, and none of us was really quite sure how long it was going to take to get out of this trail, because it was in for a dime, in for a dollar. Like Mitch said, there's no going. We kind of reached a point of no return where, and this was slow going. I don't know how long this trail was, but this was the kind of trail where every Jeep, there were spots where every Jeep needs a spotter because you're going as fine as like, all right, I need to get, this wheel on this rock and then, fall off it over on this side so I can get this wheel on this rock. It wasn't, you couldn't just do it with your own eyes. Cause you just couldn't, you wouldn't be able to get through the rock gardens on there. And the mud trails were just kind of like just basically pull and pray, just where I'm going into this mud pit, and if it's too deep my Jeep's not coming out, but hopefully and then thankfully all a couple of them were above the bumper, certainly well above rims, but we got through them all.
Well, that's I'm getting to.
No signs at the beginning of the trail were correct. Like you squeaked through with your 31s, Mitch, but when it said winch and 33s required, that was really the minimum level of a rig to take through there and hope to get through.
Yeah, so all the water holes to this point were all probably, like I said, 18 inches at the most probably. You know, it wasn't too bad. But then all of a sudden we hit this one that wasn't like the rest of them. I had it in first gear, and as soon as I hit it, I mean, I have water. Water was almost halfway up my door on my Jeep. So it was definitely almost over the front tire, over the tires. And I got on the radio right away, and I said, do not stop in the hole, guys. Just keep going. And then as soon as I got off the radio, I heard Wade go, don't stop, keep going, don't let up. Because he was right behind me. And it was just like one of those things, like, you just got to go for it. And I think Mike's Jeep was probably the best. He has the biggest lift total on his Jeep. I think he's got about 4.5 inches altogether on his. So he was feeling pretty high and dry. But I think when I got done, I opened the door. I mean, it was 4 inches onto the door. And I opened up, there's definitely water would have came in if the seal wasn't there. So it was deep. Luckily, it wasn't mud. Luckily, it wasn't any, big rocks in that hole. I just kept on going. Then we got out of there and like, okay, that was a little interesting there, but we got through it. And then we made our way all the way back to the top again somehow and came back down the other side of that hill kind of to where we began again. So that was a big trail that was interesting, I thought. And I think it was about an hour and a half that we spent in there.
Yeah, highly recommend it. I think we'd be better off starting the day down there than ending it. But it was a good way to round out a big day, Gilbert. It was a big day.
Yeah, I'd probably skip that trail for me, because it's just like, I hate mud. If it was just the rocks, I'm fine with that. I got one point, I was about 200 yards ahead of you guys in the Jeep. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna turn around and walk back. And you asked me where the heck I was. I'm like, I was way ahead. Made my own path because I was just kind of worried about where we were going with this, but made it out just fine. And we head back to the trailhead, and it was the time of day that everybody else was heading back to the trail. So I think we had about 8 or 10 Jeeps, you know, on a row all at once going back to the trailhead. We washed up the vehicles at the wash station, and this is where more comedy came in, because we're, you know, kind of reconnecting the sway bars and, you know, airing up the tires a little bit. And Mike aired up at the shed, I should say, and we all had air compressors, so we aired up, you know, down by the trailhead. Then Mike comes down, and I thought this was one of the funnier parts of the day. But Wade and Mike were musing about the new scratches. Oh, Wade's like, oh, I got a scratch on my side of my Jeep. Mike's like, I got a scratch in my aftermarket bumper. And then what did you say to those guys? You remember what you said?
Oh, I don't want to hear anything about your scratches. I've got a door that I can hardly close, and I got a hour drive back to Minneapolis with, you know, an illegal vehicle. You know, it's not street legal at this point. No side mirror, smashed windshield, no seatbelt. So I was just praying that I could just get it home. I figured I had a pretty good excuse if I had to give it, but yeah, a lot of nicked bumpers on aftermarket, you know, rigs.
Oh, I laughed pretty hard at that point, because he goes, I don't want to hear about your damn scratches on your bumpers, guys. I laughed pretty hard at that point. It was a good time. But so that was our Gilbert trip in a nutshell. You guys, Brent waited and taking off and going back home, and Mike and I stayed another night and had a good talk and had some more beers at the campfire, and was definitely a tamer night than the night before. But all in all, it was a great time. So that's kind of our story. You know, there's some hardcore off-roaders, and like, oh, you guys, they might get back to me and say you guys did that whole rollover thing wrong. But hey, he drove that thing all the way back home and still running today. I think we did everything that we could. Word to the wise, I've seen plenty of rollovers in my life in the ATV world, and I don't recommend them. I've been in enough of them. That's just an ATV. This is a little different story with a couple people inside. So I'm glad it all came out just right. I'm glad that your son doesn't distrust you. He can't wait to go again. It's so funny when you said that was fun. I want to do that again. I'm like, oh, I don't think they understand all the ramifications of what just happened. But it was a great time overall. So that was our recap on our Gilbert trip. And I can't wait to go back and explore more of what we didn't find. You know, it's a big place. I think we spent about half the time in the new area that we didn't go before, and we still didn't get up to the place we were before. So there's more exploring we can do up there. So that's the fun part. And there's a couple other trails that are closer to town that we haven't been on either yet. So and then I'm looking at the map, like, I've never been there, You know, so there's three, four other trails that are, that might be medium to light, but someday this winter, maybe we'll enjoy some of those. So,
yeah. Gilbert's just a real little gem in Minnesota for the off-roading community. It's, I mean, you can go up there with any type of rig and make it as easy or as difficult as you want. And, you know, it's just, it's just a blast. But we, we had some good reminders this trip about, you know, making sure checking equipment and things, making sure that, you know, you're safe and things are accessible where they need to be. And
yeah. Funny thing is, my brother-in-law Doug texted me. He goes, "Hey, I'm going to Gilbert. Should I disconnect the sway bar? Should I air down?" And I sent him a list like this: check this, check your fire extinguishers, check this, make sure everybody's in four low, have a safety meeting. And just like laid it on. And I said, also, read this text out loud to everybody. It was like a long thing. I said, read it out loud, take your time. But I also, you know, we took kind of hardcore trails. There's other people I saw, like a you know, a couple groups of people in JLs, top down doors off. They're just going sightseeing out there. They weren't going to hit any trail.
I mean, there's plenty of good views.
Yeah, plenty of good views. And so if you're just out for that type of ride, you can do that. But if you want to go, you know, go looking for trouble, because that's what off-roading is. You just go to look for trouble. You know, where can I go and barely get through? That's what you're looking for. Barely get out. You know, that's what you're looking for when you go off-roading. So we found it, and I can't believe, you know, we have a, you know, last year you blew your tire, and this year you know, tipped her over. So maybe next year it'll be somebody else. But
yeah, I'm paid up.
You gashed that tire last year. That's how you got your 33s.
Yeah, good excuse to upgrade.
So. All right, Brent, thanks for being here, and we'll check back soon, and hopefully next time it's less stressful.
All right, Mitch. Thanks, buddy. See ya.
Hey, gang, thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Motors & Motor Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Go online and check them out.